Good morning, everyone. Shall we turn our Bibles again this morning to the 11th chapter of Romans, please? Romans chapter 11. And shall we commence this morning to read from verse 30 of the 11th chapter of the book of Romans? For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, that is, through Israel's unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Shall we just take one moment, please, before we go into the Scripture to pray? Our Father, we just, at this very moment, commit thy word to thee. Lord, as you look down upon each person here this morning, and you see the need of the heart, not so much the outward need, but the need of the heart. Lord, grant thy blessing upon every person here. And very particularly, we would pray this morning, if there should be someone here and they have not yet really personally and in a very positive way opened their heart's door and life to the Lord Jesus. We ask thee, Lord, that thou definitely remember them this morning and bring them to the foot of the cross in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and bless thy people as well with thy word in his name. Amen. We're liking this morning to look at the last part of the 11th chapter of Romans. I think last week we were looking at this portion, particularly up to verses 27, 28, and 29. And I think we touched on verses 30 to 32. In verse 29, we see there, for the gifts of calling of God are without repentance. And this is a very marked characteristic of the character of God, that God has made statements and there is no returning from those statements. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That means there's no turning back. There's no turning around. And so as we look at this portion of the Scripture, we see how that God has absolutely and definitely clearly told us in Romans 9, 10, and 11 that there is a place for Israel, and there is a place in the plan of God for Israel as a nation. We have been looking at these three chapters for some time now and endeavoring to show how that God has, in his wonderful wisdom and grace, has simply set aside Israel as a nation. And now, just before the Lord Jesus returned back to heaven, or back to rather to the heavens for his people, we find that God is simply beginning to work in the nation of Israel. And we endeavor to show how that the nation of Israel today is one of the most obvious examples of God at work among the nations. And so we see, as we look at Romans chapter 11, how that God is keeping his covenant, and how that now the very nature of God is that he is going to follow through on his plan. But then also we noticed in verses 30 down to 31, how that in time past, the Israelites didn't believe in God. They simply just didn't come to God in real faith and trust. And as a result of this, Israel as a nation got away from God into idols and into so many different things with relation to their whole moral structure. And so as we look at this, God in his grace hadn't forgotten Israel. It would appear that Israel as a nation that God had set aside and said, "You're gone, you're finished, I'm finished with you." But that is not true. For you see, God in his grace, it says in verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all." And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you're sitting in the seat that you are, whether you realize it or not, by the mercy of God. If God had rewarded you according to your sins, if God had dealt with you according to your iniquities, you would not be here this morning, nor would I. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, sent forth his glorious Son to become your Savior, to become the one who was going to deliver you from the awful penalty of your sins, which is separation from God forever. God loved you, and in so doing, his mercy is rich toward all, both Jew and Gentile. And so we see God in his marvelous, infinite grace and mercy extended out this morning to every person. Just think of how much God loved you this morning that he would give to you his Son. And now, I just want to ask you a question. Have you really, really received him? God sent forth his Son for you this morning. Have you really, honestly opened your heart and life to him? Well, we trust that before this service is over, this will be really an experience if you're here like that this morning. But then, I want you to notice as well with me, and he says in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the knowledge, of the, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." And now we are going to look into God's great wisdom. You see, Paul has summons these five things, five witnesses in this part of the scripture particularly. And now, this wisdom that he has certainly about to extend to us has more than just simply the fact of wisdom. But it's one of the greatest, really, doxologies in all the Bible. It's really one of the greatest, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You see, the amazing truth of verse 32 compels the apostle to burst forth in the amazing truth of God, how he's rich unto all in his mercy, his gracious unto all in his grace, compels him to burst forth in praise. You see, the remarkable way in which the purposes of God are being fulfilled today through both Israel and the Gentiles causes him a real note of praise. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the greatest problems, as it were, we face today. I wonder how I remember just a few minutes ago how that Mike was saying to us how that we should, there's 168 hours a week, and that how that we should take time to be holy, and that we should take time in prayer. And I want to throw something out to you this morning, not only in prayer, but I wonder how many of you take time to praise the Lord. I wonder how many of you really take time to really just close out everything of this old life and just simply say, I want to praise the Lord. I just want to return to Him praise for all that He's done. All that He's not only done for my soul, but just for who He is. You see, the divine attributes of the Lord is contemplated here. There are three wonders of God spoken of here. And you know, many people today often say, oh, I'd like to get to know the Lord better. Let me say this morning, you'll never get to know Him any better than through His Word. And this is what God wants every person to be brought into the knowledge of Himself, that is, of God Himself. And you do it through His Word. Now notice with me, these three wonders are elements of wonder concerning the attributes of God. You know, actually, they are in view really through chapters 9, 10, and 11. God in His wonder has not set aside Israel. God in His wonder has extended grace to Israel as a nation. God in His wonder has intervened to the Gentile, and you and I are brought into the good of this. And now notice there are three things He wants to have us to see. Riches. Riches. Wisdom, verse 33. Knowledge. These three elements God is wanting us to see of what God can give as we enter into it. The word here, notice, oh, the depth of the riches refers to the inexhaustible fullness rather than the unfathomable mystery. It's not a matter of, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Not just the fact of how unfathomable they are. Oh, no. Beloved, the more I read my Bible, the more I'm absolutely and completely in wonder at the fullness of God's riches. You see, this is the place. Oh, that we could somehow instill in the hearts of every one of His children the infinite value of the Word of God. And yet, how many of us neglect it from Sunday to Sunday? You see, I want you to notice the depth of divine wealth in this text this morning. As I suggested to you, this refers to the exhaustless grace of God. The superabundance of His wealth that He has and resources that He has for us. You see, the Apostle Paul seems to be partial to the expression to describe the fullness and the abundance of God's grace right in Romans. Just turn with me now for a moment or two to the second chapter. The second chapter of Romans, just for a second. I want you to look with me at some of these riches that he has spoken of right in this epistle. Let's look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? Oh, I know some people are been brought to repentance through the fact that, look, There isn't any question that a man who dies in his sins is lost in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire forever. And I believe in my case that to some degree that was a fact. But I want to tell you this, it wasn't the important factor. It wasn't the vital thing. Do you know what really was brought me to repentance? It was that a God of love would love a sinner like me. It was Calvary's love, the goodness of God, led me to repentance. I don't know what led you to repentance. I don't know whether you've ever been led to repentance or not. But look, there can be no true conversion without repentance. I'm going to repeat myself. There can be no true conversion to Christ. There can be no time when you haven't really repented if you're really a child of God. In fact, I believe even after I was saved, God, by His Spirit, really shook me from, if you want to use, I guess, a mariner term, from stem to gudgeon, from stem to stern. You see, God shook me. And to show me how awful a sinner I was, but then He showed me how infinite His love and infinite His forgiveness. And so, here in that little verse, or do you despise the riches of His goodness? Have you? When you think of what God has done just in you, for you physically, apart from spiritual life, and yet you despise often His goodness. But then, I want you to turn with me now over to the 10th chapter just for a second. And let's look at a verse there, please. Notice the 10th chapter in verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. Or, if you wish, Jew and Gentile. That's what the word really means. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. Oh, there's no national barriers with my God. With my Savior. There's no social barriers with my Savior. There is riches of His grace this morning for all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. But you know, we haven't finished. Just quickly turn with me over to the little book of Ephesians now, over a few books. Corinthians, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians. And I want you to look with me, please, at verse 7 of the first chapter. Notice, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Do you see how the Apostle Paul has taken this phrase, the superabundant wealth of His resources? The riches, not only of His grace, but the riches of His grace. You see, isn't it wonderful this morning, beloved, in whom I have redemption? In whom I have it. Oh, to enter into that. I have His redemption. I have His redemption only one way, through His blood. No other way can I have redemption. There is no way in which you can ever be in heaven. There is no way in which you can enter into the riches of His grace only through that precious blood that He shed for us. And now He says, according to all the riches of His grace. But then I quoted this verse a moment or two. Let's go on over to Ephesians 4 for a second. And look at another verse. Verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy unto for His love wherewith He loved us. You see, He's rich in mercy. But then notice verse 7, that in the ages to come, now notice, in the ages that are ahead of us, in the eons of eternity, there is no time limit here. It says that in the ages, in the eons to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Ah, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, let me say this. Do you see some of the riches? Do you see some of the resources now? Do you see why the Apostle Paul is saying, oh, the depth, not of the unfathomable, unknowledgeable knowledge of God, but rather of the infinite resources. Are you entering into some of these resources, beloved child of God? Are you really entering into some of these resources? Are they becoming yours? Personally? Oh, if you're not, may God whet your appetite this morning. Beloved unsaved friend, if you should be here this morning out of Christ, oh, you don't know what you're missing. I hope that God will give you such a longing, a hunger for to know these riches that you'll never cease to want until that very moment you'll come just as you are. Without one plea to know His blood was shed for thee. You have to come by faith to enter into them. But I'm not finished. Turn to the third chapter of Ephesians. And let us look at verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. I don't know. You know, I'm overwhelmed by the humility of this great man, the Apostle Paul. After having God given him such marvels of revelation, and I think of some of these men who carry such pomp, supposedly preachers, supposedly ministers of the Christ of God, and they talk about His excellency, His holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, look at this verse of a man who walked for God and wrote some 16 epistles. Listen, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, we could go on and on, but I don't want to. I want to complete this. If we were to look in Philippians chapter 4, we would see there it's the riches, His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, as we look at we see the depth of the divine wealth we have in this little portion, but then the depth of divine wisdom. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom. And this refers to God's providence in arranging in the best possible way His practical wisdom and providence in the affairs of men. Oh, God wants in His plan to work out His plan for each of us. But oh, how sin interferes with God's plan in many people's lives. And that's what He's coming to in the next four actually five chapters, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. He's coming to this. He's coming to show that the Christian life is one of the most practical and yet the most simple of lives in all of God's creation. And sin has marred that. And God wants to see us to see His infinite and divine wisdom in the affairs of every person if we'll only let Him. If we'll only just yield to His wisdom. Oh, we plan. We connive. We rationalize our efforts and our everyday activities so that, you know, we set aside what God has planned for our life. And we're missing it. So many believers in Christ today, I'm afraid, are missing God's plan by not going into the Word of God. Well, let's look. The next is the depth of divine knowledge. And you see, this concerns His omniscience. His perfect knowledge of everything. You see, both past and present and future. His divine knowledge, His knowledge of everything that concerns your life and mine. There isn't one iota. This is the amazing part of God. God is so great that all the worlds He brought into existence. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Yet, this morning He's infinitely concerned for every detail of your life. You say, "My, that's almost unable. I can almost say I'm unable to understand." I believe that's true because you haven't tested Him. You haven't tried Him. Oh, to learn to trust Him. Now let's go on. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Now there are three elements here, as we've suggested a moment ago, are expanded, but you see they're taken in reverse. Now He's talking about, as it were, simply, how unsearchable are His judgments. You see, the depth of the knowledge of God is unsearchable in His judgments. His secret decisions are beyond the power of human explanation. Oh, you know, I know over some 40-some years. In fact, it's an amazing thing. It's 45 years this October, this month, that God saved this sinner that stands behind this podium. And I believe it's taken God a long while to teach me, and I believe He's still going to teach me, that every secret decision beyond the power of this little mind of mine, God has an explanation, whether I believe it or not. But often we do not want to seek to know His will. His will, not mine. His will. And beloved brother and sister in Christ this morning, you'll never know it. Nor I'll never know it, apart from His Word. You know, sometimes people think that education has a lot to do with understanding God. Unfortunately, they have that thought. Some of you have heard me tell the story. My wife and I know, and I know him much more intimate than my wife does, a man by the name of Vic Booth, who was saved in Northern Ontario in a place called Monteith. Now, Monteith was known to some degree up in Northern Ontario during the last World War, because it was a POW camp, a prisoner of war camp there. And you know, Vic was saved some numbers of years ago. Vic at this time was, some of the younger people may not know what this is, but anyway, he was a moonshiner. He sold moonshine. That means he sold liquor that he made himself. And you see, he was a real tough article. But here was the pitiful thing, was he couldn't read, nor he couldn't write. And God, I can't give you the details now, but God in his infinite mercy and in his infinite grace saved Beck. And he began to learn to read by reading the Word of God, just spelling it out, word and syllable by syllable, without any particular help from anyone else. A priest met Vic one day in the street, not long after he was saved, and he talked to him, and he said, Vic, I don't know what you got, but he said, whatever you do, don't lose it. He was so amazed at this man's change in his life. And God began to take that man. And ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could take you and show you his Bible. You won't believe it. From Genesis to Revelation, it's marked. Not only that, he can quote literally chapters upon chapters of the Word of God. He had no education. The Spirit of God taught that man. I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel pretty humble. When my wife and I 3 years ago sat in his home, and he sat there and he just quoted chapter upon chapter of the Word of God. You see, some of us are so busy doing other things. We haven't time, like Vic has, to go into the Word of God. And Vic is learning really the depth of the knowledge of God and how unsearchable are his judgments. Not with his natural wisdom. See, the depth of wisdom in God's is he's this is what it means here. It says his ways past finding out, they're untrackable. That's what it means. Yes, his ways are past finding out. And the fact is, God doesn't show his ways as you would walking in the snow. We have to search to know his ways, for he deals with us as individuals. Not in mass, like we are learning in our society today. Everything in mass. No, no. That isn't the way God deals with people. You see, the depth, his secret decisions are beyond the power of human explanation. His ways are untrackable because they're individual. They're not made for the general public to see. But more than that, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? And I want to hurry on and finish this. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? You see, he has no confidence. That it means he doesn't, no one is teaching him. And his procedure cannot be tracked by human discovery. It must be found by the Spirit of God revealing himself in his Word. You see, notice with me as well, or who has been his counselor. The word there in the mind of the Lord, if you have a margin in your Bible means, or who have known the Spirit of the Lord. That is, the general public can never know the Spirit of God. Listen, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Beloved, the very moment that I have seen literally numerous numbers of people saying, Mr. Fox, the Bible is beginning to become an open book to me. I did not understand it before I got saved. And now that I began to read it, I find that it's becoming much more of an open book. Why? The Spirit of God That's why. The Spirit of God wrote the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that reveals the Word of God. Well, I just want you to notice in verse 36, of Him, through Him, to Him are all things, and to whom be glory. Amen. Yes. The initiative has always been God's. When Adam sinned, God initiated the desire. What? He sought Adam and Eve. They didn't seek Him. It's been, you see, He is the source, it's all of Him. He's the means, it's all through Him. He's the end, it's all unto Him. And so, it's of Him, it's through Him, it's unto Him. You see, there can be no possible way in which God is going to be indebted to you. No way. It's all of His grace. It's all of His love. It's all of His mercy. You see, this attitude of praise is particularly characteristic of the apostle. And if you want to see how that Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 ends generally in a word of praise, in a word of thanksgiving, whether it's grace or otherwise. But then, as we close, I want you to notice with me how the God is the apostle is lost in the glory of God here. Notice, for all things to whom be glory. He's lost in the greatness, the goodness, and in the glory of God. As we look at the glorious future of Israel in verse 26, God says, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer. You see, His faithfulness has cheered the Apostle Paul's heart. God is going to bring again and restore Israel as a nation. And you know that thrills Paul. The abundance of His mercy is seen as we see His faithfulness as well. The gifts of calling of God are without repentance. God is faithful. We see the abundance of His mercy. You see the wonder of His divine grace in verse 32. And now, the wonder of His glory. God is glorified. One day, you know, we sing a hymn. I like the hymn too. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Glory for me. Beloved, this morning, O child of God, as we go in, God willing, and the next time we get together in this, over this portion, He's moving into Romans 12 and 13 and 14 now and 15. He's going to talk about His love in these chapters. Majorly. He's talked about His grace in the first 11 chapters. Now He's going to talk majorly, not altogether, but majorly about His love in the next 5. I trust that God has blessed His Word to your heart this morning. If you're here and you haven't really entered into the riches, the wealth of His wisdom and knowledge, you haven't entered into the fact of His goodness and of His grace and of His mercy. Oh, may God bring you to that place this morning. For His name's sake, shall we pray. Oh God, our Father, this morning,
Forgive us, we pray, for being so careless about the Word of God. It's penned in our own language, penned in our own tongue. We have the intellect, the mind, the capability to take it in. Many of us here this morning have the power of the Spirit of God to unveil the glories of the Word and the glories of the living Word, Christ. Oh God, this morning we pray that Thou wilt indeed cause in the hearts of Thy people a greater hunger, not only just to know it, but, O God, to help us, and by Thy grace to live it, for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Now, Father, we pray Thy blessing very especially upon those who are needing to know more of the goodness, the faithfulness, and the grace of God this morning. May this message be a blessing to them, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus.